This album here, I think it's my 14th album, and oh God, I said, this is it. Too old, 75. And so the aim was to record this album in Auckland at the Poinsettia RSA, the jazz club or whatever in Auckland. And I had friends, Aussie musicians coming from Australia and New Zealand, and we're all going to meet. And Paul Crowther, who used to be with Split Enz, was going to engineer it, and it was going to be a live album. And I'd written 14 new songs, driven Carol crazy. She's my best critique, and she says, "You can do better than that, boy." So we were all geared, ready to go in June 2020 to meet everybody up in Auckland and, you know, brief rehearsals, couple of days of rehearsals, whatever. There's a lot of people involved, about, I don't know, 20 people or more. And then COVID came, the first hit of COVID came. And so we had to can it. And Carol said, "What are you going to do?" You know, I said, "Well, let's just wait for a couple of weeks or whatever, a week, and because COVID could disappear, could just go away, and just got worse." And so then we go, okay, what the, you know, what do we do? And so what happened was I had this track, the first track off the album here that I'd sort of written called Inside Out, and I'd written it, and I don't want to spend too much time mucking around here, but I write on this. I've had other guitars, but this is the only guitar I have now because I've sold others to do albums. But that's my little Taylor, and I write on that. And so I might go, I'll just give you a little idea. But this is what I do. I wake up at, can you hear me? I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I get out of bed and I go into the front room. Huh? Yeah.
Doesn't wake me up.
Yeah. And I do not wake her up. But I go into the back room and I'll have a little idea. And so I play it very, very quietly in the lounge with the doors closed and everything. I'll go. So I might go. Like that. And then I go, well, where are we going to go with that? And I go, I'm living from the inside out. Quit living from the outside in. No reason for me, no reason here for me to doubt it. And here, and there is still some room for you. You see, I'm living my life face about. It was meant to be arse about, but you can't do that. all right? So I do that. And then I go, and we laugh at this, me and Carol, because I don't have a recording studio. We're not wealthy people at all. I'm just so thankful that people have helped me along the way. People have believed in me or whatever. Anyway, and so I get my iPhone out. I get my iPhone out about 2 o'clock in the morning. It's out in the back room there. And I say to Carol, we laugh, and I say, everybody else has got home studios with amazing speakers and just flipping amazing equipment. I've got nothing. I've got my iPhone. And so I sit in my lounge. The dog might be going, and I say, shut up, Lulu. Quiet. Shh. You know, and I record a piece of the song. I'll record a piece of the song, and then I take that little snippet off my phone, like an MP4 or whatever, and I take that and I listen to it over time and I add verses and I build a bridge and whatever. And then what happened with this, with Inside Out, I wrote it and I thought, oh, okay, we can't record the album in Auckland because of COVID, so maybe there's another way to do this, right? So I put it out there and I talked to a couple of friends of mine who I work with, a band I've got in Auckland, and I say, boys, you know, what about this and what about, Evan, just send it to me, man. Send me the MP4 and I'll lay a drum track down and then we'll get a bass track down and then we'll add to it and then we'll do this and then I'll go to Australia and somebody else will play it in Australia and blah, 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 and then it comes back and then we mix it here, we don't, or we mix it somewhere and then it ends up a song.
right? So Inside Out ended up a song, and then all of a sudden, totally out of the blue, I communicate with a huge site in the USA called Soul Tracks. Stevie Wonder, all the big shots are played. And I come along like this little weasel from Pyro, you know, and I send them Inside Out, and they say, shoot, Evan, we love it. So they put it up on their site as what's called First Listen, and they pump it on their site. And so with that, I thought, okay, well, we've done all this by file and through computers, laptops, and home studios. Shoot, if those people in the USA who know their shit, excuse me, they know their stuff, and they love this, I could be on a winner. So I thought, okay, well, we've done that. And so what we're going to do is, I'll play you Inside Out, or a piece of it. It's the track off the album, but unfortunately, it doesn't have the harmonies on it, but the track is all there, okay? And I'll sing, maybe I'll sing a piece of it, Christian, and then we won't let it go all the way, and I'll just put my hand up, we'll fade out. But it's, all I'm doing is, it's boring for some people, I know, but this is how people write songs. You know, I've talked to people, I say, where the hell do these songs come from? Some people say, oh, it's God. Well, it may be. I don't know. They just land. They just, hey, Lindsay, they just land. They just, you're in a mood, you're in a whatever, and something happens. And so this is the first song. Carol's saying, come on. This is the first song off the album, which features a beautiful player that I've worked with over the years in Auckland called Ernie Simu. My good friend, who's a Kiwi, Gus Fenwick, who lives now, he's been years in Australia. And another friend of mine, Stephen Wilson, who I worked with in a band under the Civic Theatre when I came back from Australia, and he is living in Adelaide. And Steve just plays the most amazing and beautiful guitar on the set. This is Inside Out. And it's about, instead of living outside here being angry and pissed off with people and all that, it's trying to find your heart. It's trying to find your inside and you know what I mean? And responding to people and with people from a different place, you know? All right, so that's what the song's about. Thank you, Christian.
For me to doubt it, and there is still some room for you. You see, I'm living my life face about, after breaking every rule. It might have looked like I was dropping out, it's something that I had to do. Couldn't get it running with the crowd. Oh, I tried to act so cool, but then I tripped and oh, the lights went out. I'm on my hands and knees with you. That's why I'm living from the inside out. I quit living from the outside. Some room for you, Steve Wilson, Adelaide, Kiwi boy. Listen to the band here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're very generous. Okay, so here I go again. I'm in the lounge in Pairoa at our house. And I've got my little tailor, and I'm sitting in the lounge. I don't know when it was, can't remember, but I'm sitting there, and every now and then I do this, and I might have put some new strings on my guitar or something like that. But I'm sitting there, and I go, house is quiet. Dog's making a noise. There's movement in the water. Footprints in the sand. Blowing through the palm trees. Nukalofa Tonga. My family roots. Is the rhythm of this land. Mrs. I will wait, my dear, for you to come. We will lie beneath the moon and rising sun. Yeah? So in amongst that song, when I was a naughty boy in Australia, I remember dropping two caps of LSD, which was a frequent occurrence, and paid the price years later. I remember being off my face, sitting on a cliff face somewhere in Sydney with a group of people, with my legs dangling over the cliff, just tripping. My God. My friend Andy Anderson, who used to be in those movies, the Sullivans and all that, he was working with us for a while playing drums. And we went down to a beach together, me and Andy, and same thing, number of us tripping. And Andy took off all of his clothes at Tamarama Beach. He turned around to me naked and said, I'll see you sometime, Evan. And he walked out into the ocean. I watched them go, didn't think anything about it. Enjoy yourself, Andy. I went somewhere, I still don't know where, and I never knew then whether Andy came back or not. It was years later, I saw him in movies. I thought, I must have come back from the ocean. Oh, my God. Anyway. Oh, it was fun, man. It was so much fun. And so anyway, this song is called Two Steps to One. You okay, darling? And she married me. Yeah. And this is Two Steps to One, the second track off the album. Thank you very much. All Aussie musicians, almost, I think. There's movement in the water, footprints in the sand, blowing through the palm trees. Is the rhythm of this land. I will wait, my dear, for you to come. There will lie beneath the moon and rising sun. Isn't that beautiful? I think so. Look out on the ocean, see the swelling waves, count the stars of heaven, as beneath them here we lay. We will dance, my dear, two steps to one. We will live and love into the days to come. Meanwhile, I wonder how I'm gonna dance with you. Lightning and thunder won't keep me away from you. Thank you. sit and daydream, breathe the evening air, ponder on your beauty, and wake this love so fair. Oh, I will wait, my dear, for you to come. Then we'll lie beneath the moon and rising sun. We can dance, my dear, two steps to one. That's my mother. Then we'll lie beneath the moon and rising sun. Two steps to one. Oh, mummy. Two steps to one. Two steps to one. Two steps to one. Yeah. You like that? Okay. All right. I'm going to cut it a little short. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, me and Jack here, I mentioned before that we're old friends from way back. We were young together. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I took a band into Auckland City called Nobody's Children, which fitted my personality quite well, or even though I had lovely parents, but I was a rebel. I don't know what I was. Okay, darling. Anyway, so what happened was I took this band into a club where Jack was playing in his band, and they were resident at a gig up in Durham Lane at a cool club. And I took this other band, and Jack came over to me after we'd done our set, screaming Wilson Pickett and all this sort of stuff, you know, and he said, hey, do you want to join our band? And I was doing an upholstery apprenticeship. And he said, we're full-time and we're making big money. And you want to see what we bought with that money, man. We're wealthy dudes, you know. Anyway, so I joined that band, and we've been friends ever since. So we've been involved in a lot of stuff, and the predominant music that we played in the band was soul music, which would be Wilson Pickett and Joe Tex and James Brown and all that, but heavily the Four Tops, the Motown stuff. And not just, you know, Sugar Pie, Honey Buns. Not just that. It was the complex stuff, Seven Rooms of Gloom and Bernadette. And we went to Sydney and we played the Whiskey, and the Whiskey A Go-Go just went mad. They just went crazy. And I said, I've got my sisters here tonight, two of my sisters there. We lost a sister recently, a beautiful sister, our older sister called Tony. And when I went to Australia, this crazy man, she did a bit of seamstress stuff. And I said, Evan, you need to have special clothes when you go to Sydney. And I said, so like what? And she made me these gold pants. Orangey gold, lamé sort of pants. Is it lamé? Is the wrong?
No, it was satin.
Satin pants, yeah. And a gold top that had a little bit of a cleavage here, you know, so I had to make it sexy, you know. And, you know, because of the functions. And anyway... yeah, and I grew my hair. I don't know how the hell this happened, but you know Marge Simpson? I was way ahead of Marge. My hair, I don't know how the hell I did it. I don't remember pressing it with an iron or anything, but it just went, because we've got Samoan blood, Portuguese, French, you know, a mix. My dad and his brother were born Nukualofa. And so we got the hair. Two of my sisters had the hair. So we were natural afros. Well, my hair, it sort of started to go out there, and God, something went wrong. It just went up like that. And so I had this Marge Simpson, was this hell of a high. I used to walk through King's Cross, I looked like a flipping apartment block. You know, like it was just straight up like this, eh? Anyway, we went, we played the Whiskey a Go, and we had a great time. And so our roots are in soul music and Motown and all of that. And Jack played this music absolutely beautiful back in our days. And we had a beautiful band, great band, and we were known for doing this stuff really, really well. And so I'm not going to pick that up. I'm not going to go through that because I don't want to take too much time. But I, again, sitting in the house somewhere and sitting there with my acoustic, and I found these chords. I thought, shoot, man, they sound nice. With this nice rundown, these minors and stuff. You know, wow, what can we do with that? And totally out of the blue, I wrote the song called It Ain't Over, right? And the song became all about the legends, Ella Fitzgerald, Sam Cooke, who I've always loved. He's just got the most beautiful, natural voice. And you know, Levi Stubbs, who was a singer for the Four Tops, Wilson Pickett, James Brown, Marvin Gaye, and the list goes on. And so here's a song, which is called It Ain't Over. And already, there's no money in this at this stage, but already the crowd in the USA have heard the song It Ain't Over. They've already used Inside Out, and they've said, Evan, send us that song. We want to write a whole story on the song and what it's about. So this is about all the people that I loved, all the people that maybe influenced me here and there, okay, and my beautiful brother in Auckland. Oh, God. I wrote the song and I sent it to him. His name is Terry Naruiti. He is a beautiful guitar player. He is a beautiful soul. He is the most humble musician I think I've ever met. And but he's got a beautiful spirit and heart. And he heard it and said, "Oh, Evan, God, give that to me, man. I'll work it. I'll put this thing together for you," you know, which he's done. And so this is Terry Naruiti with the track, and Ernie Simu, the keyboard player that I work with in Auckland, and myself. This is a song called It Ain't Over. Thank you. Silky smooth, that is Ella's mood. Tell the band, come play the room. Sam sings, darling, you send me with that groove. From Motown to Chicago, we're dancing in the street. I got sunshine on a cloudy day. Can still hear Smokey say, maybe once in a blue moon I'll hear Levi singing Seven Rooms of Gloom. Skip the life and dango, slow dance to fire and rain. The birds were flying 8 miles high. It blew us all away. Neath the sun ain't nothing new. James will still be singing, so good I got you, Terry. In Memphis,
may touch your mortal soul. Well, try a little tenderness. A hit to solid gold. It ain't over till it swings. Count Basie blues, wearing them spats and shoes. Get the crowd back on their feet as that big band plays those old funky beats. From Motown to Chicago, we're dancing in the street. I got sunshine on a cloudy day. Oh, I can still hear Smokey say, hey Marvin, I hear you on the grapevine. I got a Wilson too. Older singing, turn you loose. Yeah.
Okay. The vocals for that I recorded with this man here at Liam's home studio in Waihea. And Waihea. So next song, same deal. I don't know what it is about the lounge, but I think this time I had put new strings on this little guitar. I'd sold my guitars to record other albums, and I bought this guitar, and it's a nice little baby, a little Taylor. I'm not really a guitar player, but I managed to make stuff happen, and I'm not really a piano player either, but I write songs on piano. Oh, God. And I was in my lounge, and I'd restrung this baby, and I hadn't been drinking or anything. And I was just here, and new strings are, for some reason, when you put new, well, for me anyway, put new strings on a guitar, they inspire me to write. I don't know what it is, but it's fresh, and but something happens. So I was going, and I went like that, and I thought, oh, hell, there's a song in there somewhere. And so, what's the song about? And went back to my family living in Rahana Street. This song is called Rahana Street. It's all about the characters that lived on Rahana Street. Thank you, darling. And when I was a kid, a little kid, like I say, I was the youngest, and these girls were above me. But I do remember some of the characters on Rahana Street, and some of them were flipping wild, man. There was a guy who used to drive a steamroller up Rahana Street, a massive big steamroller, huge steamroller, and with a massive steering wheel with a piece that came out where they could go like that. You know, like, you know, and I remember it being yellow and whatever. So I was about, I don't know, I might have been 9, maybe, and he would come up the street. The street was all tar sealed and everything, and I'd hear him coming up the street, and I'd run down and sit in the lawn and watch him. Well, hell, man, one day he called out to me, and he said, hey, boy, what's up, you know? Hey, kid, on the block or whatever, you want to ride? And I didn't think anything. And I said, yeah. And so he pulled this flipping thing up on the rope, pulled this big steamroller up. He said, come on up. And he took my hand and pulled me up, and he sat me on the seat, and he let me steer the flipping thing up Rahana Street. It was amazing. It was amazing. And so I'm on the steamroller with all this noise, you know. And then he would drop me off at Naki Street, and then he'd turn around and take the steamroller home for the weekend or for the night at his job. It's just crazy. These are crazy times. And another lady in the song, I've got to be careful, but another lady that lived next door to us, she used to freak the hell out of me when I was a kid. She walked around in a fur coat that was filthy dirty. Absolutely. It was all ragged and haggard. It looked like a dead animal over her shoulders. And she would just appear. I'd be out in the backyard playing, and next minute, good God, she was like an apparition. She'd just be there, and she had hair. She dyed her hair. Like, her hair was rotting. It was like all red and bad colour. And that. But then when I got a bit closer, to her, she was a chain smoker, and her flipping lips were like nicotine. They were just, so she'd look at me and go, and I was a little 9-year-old. For some reason, I called her Zazu. I have no idea why, but she scared me. So there's all these characters in the story about Rehana Street. I used to hang out with a kid, a boy who was about my age. He lived about 4 houses down on the left-hand side, up on the hill. And his name was Eric Williams. And we called him Jughead out of the comics. And in that day, because of my mini F, they called me Fuzz, right? That's all right, darling. That's okay. Leave it. That's good. So he would call me Fuzz, and I would call him Jughead. And I lived in Rehana Street, a big 2-story house with a sunroom up here, a tiny sunroom with like these windows. I actually could open the windows and whatever. And Jug lived over here, and every Saturday morning, because school was over, you know, and we were free for the weekend, and we'd do this thing, and I'd call out to him, like one of those birds. I'm not sure what the hell the birds are, but I'd go, Chicago! Like that. And that was the message. Oh, yeah. It was spiritual. Oh, yeah. And I'd wait. I'd just go, Chicago! Out the window, and it would go down through the valley, and I'd go, I've been waiting for a repeat. If I didn't hear from him, he wasn't up. So there's no playing. I have to wait to play until later. But occasionally I go, Chicago! And I'd wait just a flash and go, Chicago! And so we'd meet on Rehana Street, get our trolleys out, and run up and down Rehana Street on these steelwork trolleys, the whole thing. So this song, Rehana Street, is about all these people. It's about my Uncle Warner, who some of these, my family will remember. Uncle Warner and my dad used to work in the city. And Uncle Warner had this old, I'm not sure what, an old Ford with wooden spiked wheels, you know? And Uncle Warner used to hit the piss like you wouldn't believe. And they, I think it was 6 o'clock closing, and Dad would get on it too, you know, they'd get totally plonked, and then they'd meet at the Britomart, this pub, with all these other guys, and they'd come home in this car with flagons of beer, the big flagons, Uncle Warner's driving. Pissed as an owl, excuse me, and driving, and pull up outside our place in Rehana Street, and then Dad would just about fall out of the car, but he'd never leave that flagon behind. He'd get the flagon here, come up inside, and you know, what's happening, honey? What's for dinner tonight, darling? You know, all that sort of stuff. So this song is full of memories about Rehana Street. And so recently me and Reese went and we met in Rehana Street, and we filmed the whole thing up the street about these characters, because Jughead, my friend, and his brother Mickey, the father was a seaman, tough as nails, covered, you know, those old seamen's, the anchor tattoos they used to wear back in the day on their arms here. And Tommy was a punch-drunk individual. If these two boys ever had a disagreement, he would go and he would get the gloves out, boxing gloves, and make the two boys, one was older, one was younger, and then he'd make them put gloves on, and they'd fight it out between them on the front lawn of the house, and all the neighbours would come. And we'd all watch Jug and Mick fight on the front lawn and beat themselves to hell over a missed decision somewhere, a bam, 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 you know. And we'd all be down there like entertainers, like the 18th century. Oh, this is amazing. So all these things are in this song. And when I wrote the song and I was going to record it, I met Christian. I met his sister first, and Christian lives just up the road from us, around the corner. He's got a home studio. And I met Christian, and we talked about stuff, and I said, hey, bro, I've got this song, Rehana Street. And I said, you know, if I send it to you, have a listen to it and see what you think and put something together. And so Christian worked in his home studio and played everything on here and did some BVs on here. And then it came back to me, and I went, yeah. Yeah, and the amazing thing about this is all these people, there's some key people that have been involved in putting these songs together, and not one song has come back ever through this whole process where I've gone, oh, shoot, I think they missed the boat. every song's come back, and truly, honestly before you, in my heart, I've gone, shoot, they caught something, man. So it's a collaboration in the real sense of the word. People collab, we collaborated together. So I didn't go, oh, I'm really precious about my songs. No, you gotta get over that and pull your undies up and get on with it, you know? And say, you put it out to your friends who you trust, who are musically apt, and they come back. So this is Rahana Street, and this is Christian playing. Local boy. And turn it right up, Christian. Turn it right up, bro. Yeah, crank it. Yeah. As the rains came in September, some days were dark as night. As a kid, I do remember how the lightning it would strike. The thunder, she came rolling. Pain. I'd hide beneath the covers and call my sister's name. I do remember. Old Pearson drives a roller up Rahana Street. He'd take me to the corner, put me down on Naki Street. The scissor man would holler, I'll sharpen up your knife. Tommy, get the gloves out so Jug and Mick can fight. I do remember.
These are things that I remember.
I remember.
Remember.
Zazu comes a shaking, ash off her cigar. Old Warner's driving drunk again.
Better stop your driving.
He's got Smokey in a car. That's my dad, Smokey. Somewhere in a distance, the carriage doesn't block. Somewhere in the distance, I hear rock around the clock. Great man. Woo! Is a mess. Father Boland's praying. Oh, he just wants to bless. Dyer's is a ghost house. Jarvis keeps the junk. Who's that new kid on the block? Smelling like a skunk. I do remember.
These are things that
remember.
These are things that I remember.
Yeah, do you remember?
These are things that I remember.
Oh, so well.
I do remember.
I do remember. You got memories?
I do remember.
Write your stories. Write your poems. Write your songs. Yeah? Rahana Street. Thank you. Thank you. I'll make this the last song, eh? Can I just have a sip of something?
Which one?
Yeah, that's fine.
Are you doing secretly?
Yeah, now. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sounds like a good song.
God, man.
Straight vodka.
We're doing all right? It was pink gin. Okay, now this song, they're all special. They're all special. But I'll make this the last one and then we'll take a break. But listen, this is an amazing story. Me and Carol, I was a preacher back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Preacher.
I know how that happened, but public speaking, I could never do it, but ended up doing it. It's probably a bit of a red torch helps, you know. but what happened is, back in the day, we've got friends in the Gold Coast, a number of friends, music friends and not music friends. And it just seemed to be that Carol and I were going over to the Gold Coast kind of frequently. And we go over and do a little bit of music, you know, do the odd gig. Or I would go and speak in a church or do something like that, right? Now, this is back a number of years ago. And so we were used to going to the airport, gate 47, ticket blah, 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 B24, come forward. And, you know, so we went through all that. And this time we got the ticket, yeah, we got the guide and came through the speakers. And so we went downstairs to gate 47 or whatever. And so it was packed with people heading for the Gold Coast. So me and Carl sat down at, you know, and there's rows of people and there's lots of other people facing you over here, like super close, like that. So you might not believe this, but I'm quite a private person. Right, you know, but on certain occasions you break out and you do what you do, you know, like, but I do prefer at home I'm private and whatever. Anyway, no, Carol, she's going to say, Evan, move along. And anyway, so we were sitting there waiting to board the plane. And then I was sitting there like this, looking down, Carol was beside me, and I'd look up like that, and the couple that were opposite us, he looked like Yul Brynner. Just a handsome man. I'm not that way inclined, but he was a handsome man. Never have been, and I don't think I ever will be. But anyway, each to his own, I guess. But anyway, and his wife, yeah, yeah. And his wife, and she's beautiful. They're both Kiwis, but living in the Gold Coast, right? So every time I sort of went like this, I'd be sitting there and I'd look up and they were looking over at us, right? And I get good at talking out the side of my mouth. I said to Carol, well, she was on this side of me. I said, Carol, details. And I said, Carol, have you noticed that these people across from us keep, you know, they're looking over at us and stuff? And she said, oh, Evan, it's okay. It's okay. It's just LSD. Oh, she didn't say that, but she said, it's just, you know, it's okay. Just, it's all right. Just don't worry about it. It's cool, you know. So she calmed me and we're, you know, right. So then it says, you know, seat number 24, whatever, blah, blah, B. Well, okay, that's us. So we get up and we get onto the plane. We go and sit down the plane and we're sitting there like good kids, me and Carol. Carol's on the outside. I'm on the inside and one more person beside us. Next minute, Yul Brynner comes walking down the passage. They're coming on the plane now. And Yul Brynner comes straight over to me and looks over, leans on the seat like that, the back of the seat in front of me and says, Evan Silver? And I went, I'm famous. God, I've been wanting that all my life. And I said, yeah. And I said, and this is my wife, Carol, right? And he said, oh, hi, Carol. He said, listen, he said, we've never met. He said, but I know your friend, Polisi, who plays on this album, plays some bass on this album, Kiwi boy, Polynesian boy, a good friend. And he said, do you know that I've been singing your song, is it there? Anyway, when the winter comes, I'll save a special place for you. And spring will come and show your heart's been colored so. It's true. And I wrote it for Carol, right? He said, I've been singing your song all around Australia. Oh, my God. Royalties? No, I didn't say that, but I just said, oh, is that right? And he said, yeah. He said, I was floored. I just go, my God. He said, look, he said, I'm friends with Polisi, and we're going to have a dinner, catch up and have a dinner together, right? At some point. I said, yeah, well, cool, you know. So he went and sat down. We flew off. I said, go, flip, what's that? So we all got together and had a lovely dinner, and somebody played piano, and each of us got up and sang songs at this little musician's party, which is not really my thing, but anyway, we got involved and did it. And then having a few of these things, reds and whatever, and I was sitting on the couch, and Yul Brynner, his name's not Yul Brynner, his name is Dan Tecker, and a beautiful man. And Dan came over and sat next to me and said, Evan, I want you to write me a song. I said, Dan, You can do this, man. You can write a song. No, I want you to write a song for me and for Jossie. That's his partner. I said, oh, Dan. And he said, no. He was very, you know, committed. And I said, what about we'll write something together? Should we do it? No, I want you to write the song. Right? So I said, okay. And then we went on until the night and whatever. Anyway, I worked reasonably well under pressure. And so in the plane coming home, I got my home studio out, my iPhone. And there's people in the plane. The plane was packed. And so I had this melody in my head or wherever it comes to. And I'm leaning down the back of the seat going, a secret love. And I found this melody, and I thought, shoot, this could be it. So I put it on my phone, and Carol said, what are you doing? I said, oh, you know, it's my home studio, love. And so I put a piece of something together. Then I went home, and then I thought about Dan, and I thought about Jossie. And eventually I wrote the song called Secret Love, right? And in its rawest version, like... The secret love I found with you, where serenades await their cue, violins and cello softly play. Here beneath the evening shade, two soul shadows drift and sway, to reminisce your pictures in a frame. True eyes of love, two souls engaged, heaven knows. Oops, and away it goes, okay? It carries on. So I wrote it, and I recorded it sort of like that on my home studio, on my phone, and I sent it to him. He got back, Evan, I love it, man. I love it. So he recorded it with somebody, a piano player over there, and sent it to me. Dan, cool, bro, good on you. I said, at some time, I'm going to record this for you. I'm going to put it together for you. And so when time went by, my friend Polisi rings me up one time. He says, Evan, about 2 years later, Evan, I got some sad news, man. What's that? He said, Dan's really sick, mate. Never smoked in his life, fit as you could be. And he just had some sort of an issue, went to his doctor, they checked him out, and he's full of cancer through his lymph nodes and everything. And he's got about 2 months to go. Oh, my God. You know, and so I kept in touch. We kept in touch, me and Polisi and stuff. And eventually, he passed away. He was too far gone, he almost like beyond a miracle, and he passed away. So here's the song, Secret Love, sitting in here somewhere for him, and he's gone. And I could only give him a piece of the song, and yeah. And so what happened was, we got through the losing him, and Polisi loved him dearly. And so we waited a little while, and I get another phone call. Ev, Polisi, bro, what's up? He said, look, there's this big thing on at the Brisbane Arts Centre, and all these people are coming. It's a huge ordeal with jazz bands and all these musicians and food and beautiful dinners and this dress-up, man. That's real classy stuff, you know. And in amongst this, they want to honour Dan for all the work he's done, going around singing to people who are sick or just not sick, but sick, and encouraging them and lifting their spirits and all that kind of shit. You know, not shit, I mean, that's not the word I wanted to use, but anyway, that sort of stuff I meant. And anyway, he said, they want you, we want to get you over here, but it's all undercover. Nobody's allowed to know that you're coming. It's like, ooh, secret squirrel. And so he said, and bring Carol with you, right? I said, hey, well, how's this going to work? He said, you know, and we want you to come, we want you to sing Carol's song with this band, and we want you to sing Secret Love. Because Jossie, his wife, is going to be sitting right in front of you down there with a huge pack of her family, about 30 to 40 of her family, you know. So, okay, let's go, you know. And so I sent them a chart, and we put a chart together, and me and Carl organised it. Well, when we arrived, we had to sneak in, and we had to hide in a room down the back of this venue. And we were allowed to have something to eat. We were allowed to eat something, but nobody was allowed to see us in the green room. And so we did that, and they had this huge function. People played, blah, blah, blah. Evan, it's you, bro. You're on. So my mate Polisi gets up, and he's introducing whatever, talking about Dan and stuff, and I'm hiding in the dark in behind the curtains, and Jossie and all them are down there, you know, as you know. And then I'd met Jossie and stuff, and Polisi says, and we have a special guest tonight all the way from, you know, God, I was humble, man. And she said, Evan Silver's here to sing for you, Jossie. Shoot, man, and she looked up and bloody, you know, too much. So we recorded the song with Ernie Simu playing piano, Richard Hammond, an upright bass player from New York, I've never met him. A cello player from New York, never met him. And so we put Secret Love together for Jossie, and I wanted to put it on this album. But this is Secret Love, okay? Thank you, Christian.
The secret love I found with you, where serenades await their cue, as violins and cello softly play. With you neath this evening shade, two soul shadows drift and sway, to reminisce your pictures in a frame. True eyes of love, two souls in game. Heaven knows just what they gave. True eyes of love, that's where passion plays. From a secret love, a song was made. We were given chance and time. In the moment, spill the wine. Take the dance before the music fades. Your heart plays like a melody, a symphony of you and me. How we loved and passed the time away. True eyes of love, two souls in game. Heaven knows just what they gave. True eyes of love, that's where passion plays. From the secret love,
from their secret love, this song was played.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, I'm here to promote this album, okay? I said to Carol, darling, this is the final one. And she does it every time.
Eh?
Rubbish? Yeah. So, but this has got a lot of feeling and a lot of meaning to me because there's so many people involved. And I cannot believe even now that this is ready. It's ready to go. It's getting played in Australia and all that. But the amount of people that were involved in this, and some of them I haven't met, and we managed to somehow by files and computers put this thing together, which is just, it is a credit to the quality of musicians that play on this here, you know. So I'm a happy man.